every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Christ divided, Paul crucified for you, and baptized in the name of Paul. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name, and I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know that there are think about how it all that, there were those that opposed themselves and blasphemed, shook his raiment and said, "Your blood be upon your own heads, I'm clean, I'll go into the Gentiles," and he departed, entered into a certain man's house, and justice won the court of God. His house was right up next to the synagogue. There they were, right next to the synagogue, and of all things, Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, he believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, even as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Now you had an interesting thing set up. You've got the synagogue here, and you've got the church at Corinth, apparently, is meeting in this house of justice, right next door to the synagogue. And I'm not sure if in my thinking, which I haven't really completely thought this out, but when you come to verse 17, it's going to tell us about the one that Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians 1, Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue. Is it possible that when Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed, well, guess what? He's no more than the synagogue. Now we've got Sosthenes. And guess what? Sosthenes then believed that. Wouldn't that be amazing? Two chief rulers of the synagogue that came to believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. I mean, pretty incredible to think about God working at such a different time. So now you've got a synagogue, and you've got right next door to it, bumping up against it, really, the church at Corinth meeting in the home that was there. And the Lord speaks to Paul in night by a vision. It's one of the few places that you notice in the book of Acts that you have a red letter Bible. It's one of the few places where you'll have red letters in the book of Acts. Where the Lord speaks to Paul. And he speaks to Paul in a vision and says, "Don't be afraid." Why did he say that? Why did he say that? Got afraid? So speak. Don't hold your peace. I am with you. No man can set me free. Where were they? See, think of the interesting setup you've got. You got a synagogue. Those now are the people of God. And this statement, "I have much people," you remember the prophet who said, "Lo Ruhama, Lo Ami, will not be my people. A place where they were not called my people, once again they shall be my people." Interesting, isn't it, that in that setup, at one time the synagogue, those would have been God's people in that setup. So he continued there, and one of the other unique features of Corinth is that Paul stayed there longer than he stayed anywhere except at Ephesus. He stayed about 3 years. He was there a year and a half teaching the Word of God, and it then says in verse 18, even after that, he stayed there a little while after that. So he was there at least a year and a half, and a little bit longer, and the opposition came. They beat the ruler of the synagogue before the judgment seat. He was pretty much unhinged and so on. So that's what happened. Now, it's worth noting there at what Paul begins to say, as he says in verse 21, because they knew not God, they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, they became vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, birds, both of the beasts and creatures, and God gave them up to uncleanness, and so on. You see, people will tell you that aren't believers in Christ, don't believe in God's word, that once you become a believer, you cast off all of these moral cares, these points, and you think you know the Bible, think about God. That's what an enlightenment society is. So the Bible tells us just that. When you cast off God from your thinking, when you reject the revelation that God has given, as it's meant to give us, you don't come to some higher state and begin to evolve. When you see a society that in Romans 1 is mentally affected, vain in their imagination, spiritually affected, they change the glory of the uncorruptible God, so morally affected, God gave them up to uncleanness, dishonor their own body, and societally affected, verse 29, all the things that are listed there. All of that takes place among people who reject the truth of God. But it's interesting that some have surmised that Paul could have been looking out the window at Corinth when he wrote the things that he described in verses 24 and 5. That's the way that happens. A wicked, vile society with sort of a pluralistic religious type of view of a lot of things. What a place. The beauty of it. And it's amazing, isn't it? Paul went to a place where the gospel of Jesus Christ, as far as you know, never heard of it. And he preached. And people got saved. And they got baptized. And they began to follow the Lord Jesus. The world in which we live today, the society in which we live today, not the same as it was when I was in the world. I joke sometimes with young people about the fact that when I was in school, back in the day, when I was in school, you know, boys had to have their hair, your hair, could not be 2 fingers above your eyebrow. In other words, your hair fell below 2 fingers above your eyebrow. And you could get in trouble. And I mean, you got either physically paddled or you could be suspended from school. You had to wear a belt. Your shirt had to be tucked in. You had to have socks. The ladies had to have skirts. Now, we're talking about public school now. I'm not talking about private school, Christian school. This is public school. That was, I mean, up until the time I was a junior high student, that was my age, 7th grade, up until the 6th grade, we began every morning in elementary school, grade 1 to 6, as it was then, with the reading of the Bible and the Pledge of Allegiance and prayer. Now, we've come a long way. We no longer have a society that is supportive of what you and I, for the most part, believe. That is a fertile soil or a soil conducive to the things that we believe. It's adversarial in many ways, or in some ways, it's just apathetic. But God is still, and is still, using His Son and the gospel of Jesus Christ to reach people and save them. I mean, these Corinthians, to me, it's a wonderful thing that when you come to Corinth, you have more truth about the church than you have in any other book of the New Testament. It's almost as if to say God could take the worst of the lot we could make them and expect them to do something. It's possible anywhere. And it's certainly true about our society. You know, the result is that when Paul came and preached the gospel, let's turn back to 1 Corinthians once again and look at chapter 6, one of my favorite chapters in the book. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In writing to the Corinthians in verse 9 of chapter 6, he says, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate." Some of the more modern translations have male prostitutes. "Abusers of themselves of mankind." Some of the more modern translations have homosexual offenders. "Nor thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." These were the people that constituted the church at Corinth. But there's a beauty about this verse, isn't it? "Such were some of you. You're not that anymore." And when he's brought out the, if you want to think of it that way, the filth of their lifestyle prior to that, the first thing he says is that you're washed. Not in theological order necessarily to say you are justified. No, first they need another explanation. Wonder what it was like to have the David Pastor sign a testimony sign at the church of the Lord. Can you imagine some of them? This is what they were. You get up and now testify to the fact that God had saved them out of that lifestyle, had washed them, had justified them, had sanctified them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. What he says, "and such were some of you," I kind of want to throw in there, well, maybe there was some of you that were that, and some of you weren't that bad. You know, some of you were just, no. He doesn't say some of you were okay religious people. All of you, this is scripture, what you were. Kind of problems. You just begin to read through the book. The visions that came in among them. Going to court, brother against brother, and dragging it before the unsaved court. Immorality.